So the Old Testament stories are rich with our history. There are stories as people of God for us to look back on and to remember the ways that God has blessed and guided and worked for God's people in the past. It is also evident in my life, maybe yours too, that we need help with how we can best live as God's people today. And there's no better place to go to than to dig into the stories we have in the scriptures to teach us how we can live as God's unique and set apart people in the world. Last week, Pastor David beautifully outlined some of the context and the history in the book of Daniel. How the Israelites were pulled from their home and they were plopped down in a land that was completely new and different. People spoke a different language. They worshipped gods that were not the one true God. And the powers that be expected God's people to begin to conform to their culture, to live as they live, to bow to their idols, but not God's people. And we see this in the story, our story tonight, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Maybe you remember the story from your Sunday school days, but the king Nebuchadnezzar had a statue made of gold, and it was 60 cubits wide, 60 cubits high. He set it out on the plain of Dura and sent out for all the people to come and assemble for the dedication. And so all the people gathered around, and the herald proclaimed that all must fall down and to worship the golden statue, and whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into the blazing furnace of fire. And the music played, and all the people bowed down and before the statue, all except God's people. And so our heroes of the short story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego they're hauled in. They don't bow, they won't. And the king then, in a fit of rage, he heats up the furnace. He heats it up seven times hotter, and they're tossed there in the furnace. It's so hot that it killed the men that were throwing them in there. But there they were. There they were in the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and another walking around among them. Three of them went in, and another was with them. And the king and the crowd were amazed. And so that's where we pick up in our scripture reading from the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. What we have in the book of Daniel, repeatedly throughout the book and here in our passage today, is a powerful testament of how God's people can live in the world, maintain our identity as God's people. We're called to be in the world, but not of the world. To not conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed. We're called to be God's people in the world, unique and set apart. D.L. Moody uses the image of a ship saying that Christians should live in the world but not be filled with it. A ship lives out in the water, it's surrounded by water, but the water but if the water gets into the ship, then she goes to the bottom. So Christians may live in the world, but if the world gets into them, they sink. So how do we live in the world and still be who we're called to be as God's people? Something is perfectly clear in our scripture for today. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they serve the one God, the Most High God, and God alone. They're not going to bend on that. They're ready to give up their lives. On the list of the Ten Commandments that God has given us, God's people, to keep, to guide us, the very, very first one on the list, God says, "You shall have no other gods before me." And they intended to keep it. They intended to keep that commandment. And this idolatry stuff can seem a little like an issue of the past or for some other religion or some other part of the world, but bowing down to some statue. But the statue is not the point. This wouldn't be one of the big Ten Commandments if it wasn't important for us. This issue of idolatry wouldn't be dealt with again and again all throughout the Old Testament and again in the New Testament if it wasn't an issue that humanity, that we can really struggle with. David Clarkson, a Puritan, wrote a book years ago on soul idolatry. And his point was, he said, honestly, physical idolatry, bowing down with your body to a physical image is not really all that different and a lot less prevalent than the real sin, which he calls soul idolatry, bowing down to something which probably doesn't have a physical image but is in our hearts. You can make anything into an idol. It doesn't have to be a statue. It almost never is. Somebody said that today's idols are more in the self than on the shelf. They're more in the self. It is simply our worship directed in any direction but God. That's idolatry. It's the things that we look to beyond God for our fulfillment. It's the things that aren't God that begin to stake an ultimate claim on our devotion, our attention, our commitment. The preacher, Barbara Brown Taylor, said that it would be a lot easier for us if we had a real enemy like Nebuchadnezzar to say no to. Instead, most of us face powers that are more subtly a part of our lives. We've been living in Babylon so long that it takes special gifts of discernment just to recognize the foreign gods. They don't seem like foreign gods. To us, they seem more like the hard realities of daily life. And so we have to pay attention. We have to use our discernment. What are these things in our lives that are claiming our devotion, our attention, our commitment? It's not an accident that the commandment about idolatry was the very first one on the list. There's a reason. And really, the rest of the commandments, the rest of our sins are just symptoms of failing at that first commandment. It should be first on our list. Stephen Covey said that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. You get that? Main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And he's right. Worship God alone. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he said, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. There's a constant competition in the world for our attention, our devotion. If we're not careful, then we can start to spend our time, our energy, our worship on the things of this world, things that are not God. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. The story is told of the Lee steamboat company who was carrying a cargo of salted pork from New Orleans to Memphis. And as they passed Natchez, another boat came up and attempted to pass by, and then the race was on then. And the Lee steamboat captain ordered full steam, hold on, I lost my spot here. Yeah, full steam ahead, and yet it was not sufficient to pass their smaller counterpart. And then the captain got an idea. He ordered that some of the salted pork they were carrying be thrown into the furnace. And instantly, there was thick black smoke billowing out, and the boat took off and increased its power. And it worked so well that they tried it again and again. And at last, with whistles blowing and flags waving, the Lee steamboat arrived in the port of Memphis far ahead of its rival. But of course, when the merchants came out for their cargo of pork, they found that it had all been destroyed in the furnace to win the race. And this can happen to the best of us. We can spend our time, our life, in this way. We can push aside what is precious, what is good, in exchange for something else, something that isn't worthy. The main thing is to keep the main thing. It's a problem in the church, in the Christian world, where people make a confession of faith. Someone is born again, becomes a Christian, and then isn't changed in any way after that, but stays the same. And Tim Keller says that he thinks that this is because, in many cases, we haven't confronted our idols. We haven't identified and destroyed the idols in our lives. We need to look deep within ourselves on this, or else we'll just look like the world. But the opposite is also true. When we confront these idols in our lives, destroying them, turning away from them, we're going to start to look a little different in this world. You remember there were three men thrown into the fiery furnace because of their steadfast devotion to God alone. They were different. And then they stepped out of the fire again. And clearly only the Most High God can save like that. And so the people, even the king himself, began to praise God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When we turn our attention, our worship fully toward God, the only one who truly deserves our worship, we start to look a little different, a little more like God, a little less like the world. There's a story about a man who had a huge boulder in his front yard. And he grew tired of this big, ugly lump in the center of his lawn, and so he decided to take advantage of it and to turn it into something beautiful. And he went to work on it with a hammer and a chisel. He began to chip away at that huge boulder until it became this giant, beautiful elephant, stone elephant. And when he finished, it was gorgeous, breathtaking. And a neighbor came by and asked, how'd you ever carve such a marvelous likeness of an elephant? And the man answered, he said, I just chipped away everything that didn't look like an elephant. Just chip away everything else. If we have things in our lives now, things competing for our attention, our devotion, things that don't look like full-fledged commitment to God, then with God's help, start to chip it away. Chip it away. All the other things stealing our devotion, our attention, we chip it away from our lives and we turn our hearts toward God. And then what is left of us, it's far more beautiful. A little less like the world and a little more like God. And it can turn the world upside down. Amen.